Dead Bod Rap Pod. It's going down. Happy Lunar New Year.
I don't know why you're looking at me, Doug.
Happy Lunar Gong Hei Fat Choi to you, sir.
You can't see, but I'm bowing right now.
There's red envelopes all over the table.
Sliding red envelopes across the table.
Yeah, guys, how's it going?
I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing well. Doing
How
well.
Was your New Year? Did you spend time with your family?
Yeah, very traditional. A little bit of gambling. It's not my thing, but I'll do it.
Sure.
Yeah. And just traditional Vietnamese food at this time of year.
Dope
shit.
Sounds pretty good.
Unfuckable little shit.
Yeah. Does your family do fireworks?
No, we live in Santa Clara, dog. If they lift off a Thule, yes.
Bruh. And so every year I'm always, because, you know, Lunar New Year falls on different days, different years, because it's a moon cycle thing. I only know because at fucking 12:01, like, pop, 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 and I'm always like, oh, shit, oh, it's right. New Year.
At least it doesn't seem to be, like, the 4th of July style rogue, like...
Totally.
What, I don't know terminology for firecrackers, but there's one that's like a quarter stick of dynamite.
No,
essentially.
No,
it's really, not like that. Yeah, it's about the little, like...
Yeah. And it's kind of cool. It has like this cool...
They're firecrackers.
Yes, firecrackers, not fireworks.
It's not light explosives like happen. And not only July 4th. Now this shit is like a three-month season and around.
Totally.
So, but no, I'm totally here for Tet.
Apparently it's very bad for people with dogs. Dogs are very sensitive to the sounds of the fireworks.
And as we know, in America... it's all about a fucking dog. Had Liam Neeson said he was going to go and beat up a fucking dog, he would be canceled.
He would actually be canceled instead of the fake canceled that he is now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard about this movie, but he's in the movie Widows,
which
I really
want to
see. Yeah, with Viola Davis amongst other African Americans, and I'm like, I want to watch that movie. Like, I watch all of Steve McQueen's films, but, like, Liam Neeson is currently canceled.
Yeah,
I'm going to watch it, but,
it's
you know.
Tough. Okay, report back on that.
Yeah, totally. See if he was dropping any hints.
Right.
He killed her.
Looking sideways at Daniel Kaluuya the whole time.
Oh, man. Who offers that up, like, without
that
any
was
prompting?
So dumb.
That's ridiculous, dude.
Yeah.
Even as somebody who loves to see racists go down in burning flames, I'm just like, bro, you fucked up the bag and nobody was asking Taken 7. Like,
totally.
So it's just been that type of week. I just think, I don't know, Black History Month is white people are wiling out coast to coast. Yeah, I'm not looking at you when I...
Black Face History Month?
Oh my God. So who is it? He's the guy who's second in line for the Virginia governorship, so he's the attorney general. He was dressed as Curtis Blow.
I know.
That's the funniest thing I heard all day.
That's the best blackface excuse ever.
Totally.
I mean, because everybody's done, like, you know, the Michael Jacksons,
you
know, like, rap. You went to Curtis Blow, bruh. Like,
blackface, everybody.
Damn it, Nate LeBlanc, ladies and gentlemen. So speaking of white people wilding out, did anybody watch the state of the tunic?
No, address? I have had like a crazy work week, and like yesterday, I was actually glad I had a work thing, so I didn't have to watch the State of the Union.
Yeah, no, it's the worst. I only just had it on the background for the Ocasio GIFs.
Oh my God. Oh, dude, she's such a boss, man.
She's just sitting there
her.
Doing nothing, and it's perfect.
Yeah.
Did you guys see Nancy Pelosi's crazy, like, clap
of course.
It's like a literal clap back.
Yeah.
Just, there's so much shade going on there that it was...
I like that they're not pretending anymore. Like, fuck civility. He's the one who took civility out of the discourse.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Yeah. And then he's going to talk about, like, oh, let's bridge the gap and, like, no more discord. It's you caused it, bitch.
God. Like, yeah. No, it's
gross.
Political theater at its highest. And they're, like, dressed in different colors. Like... We're almost to the point where we're going to be one of those, you know, like when you see those things in parliaments in different countries where they're like throwing chairs and shit.
Totally.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I think we need to
I'm ready for that.
Yeah. I need Mitch McConnell to get like beat over the head.
100%.
Yeah.
I want him armbarred.
Yeah. Immediately. So, yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, but shit's crazy. It's a new year, but it's still crazy as fuck.
Yeah.
On all fronts.
I don't know what to, I'm, I've, given up is not the right term because I'm still going to vote and I still read the news. But like, I couldn't do it with the State of the Union. I couldn't bring myself to listen to his bullshit. I kind of did this in the George Bush years too. It's like I'm not listening to an idiot talk for 45 minutes with like crazy applause breaks.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm always tripping on like the applause breaks, right? Like it's so staged. What people clap for?
I read this morning was about who clapped about what and who didn't.
Right. I think it needs to be more like the Source Awards. Like we need 95 Source Awards. Like
Snoop.
Yeah. No. I need the gauntlet to be thrown.
Like Suge Knight behind him. Suge Knight and Snoop.
Anybody who wants free healthcare, come to death row.
All up in your cabinet, dancing. It's a hot mess. But we persevere here on the Dad Bod Rap Pod. Believe it or not, this is a hip hop podcast. We touch on a great many things, but we also talk hip hop. And on this particular episode, we have we've had a lot of dope DJs of late. And this guest is no exception. DJ Newmark, who many people know from his work with Jurassic 5, but also has his own kind of stellar career. Was cool enough to talk to us about being on television show, kind of some of the J5 history stuff, and all of the dope releases he has on his label Hot Plate. So without further ado, here is our interview with DJ Newmark. Right, Dad Bod Rap Pod, talking to another hip hop luminary this evening. We have on the phone DJ Newmark. How's it going, man?
What's up? What's up? How you guys doing today?
Good.
Cold as shit. Is it cold as shit where you are?
It's unusually cold for LA, but that's only like 55 degrees. So I'm pretty sure it doesn't hold a candle to what you guys got cracking over there.
yeah, we hit the 30s today, and I think I almost had a nervous breakdown. But thanks for coming on the program. Let me ask you this: what is your zodiac sign?
I'm Gemini.
Okay.
So yeah, when I did my mixes, or when I, for those who don't know or just listening or whatever, I do a series called Zodiac Tracks where I mix everybody's music together in their respective astrological sign. So I did three episodes of Gemini. So yeah, that's like kind of the extra mix in my series that's on my USB stick. But I'm Gemini, man.
Okay, what's the flyest one though? Like your personal zodiac bias aside, I always think that the Aquarii is just so many hard hitters in that zodiac bracket. But in your informed opinion, what was like the one that had the dopest like artists on it?
You know, what's a trip is like when I went into doing these mixes, I didn't really put much like effort or thought into like, oh, what's going to be, you know, the most, what's going to bear the most fruit in what sign or what's going to be the hardest one. But it was almost exactly like what I thought it would be. Like the Pisces ones were very difficult, just like my Pisces friends around me. and the Geminis, I'm a Gemini, like I would get into Gemini and as soon as I liked something, I would wake up the next day and go, okay, cool, I'm ready to record it. And I was like, no, I hate it. So I would switch my mind. I had like, you know, duality in Gemini. It was really friggin' weird at one point. Like, and I was like, am I tripping or is this, you know, like, am I overthinking this? But it was true. And yes, to answer your question, Aquarius gave me a lot of information and tons of segues. And it was almost like, information overload. Libra was pretty good too. I think which one was the one that surprised the shit out of me? My very first Leo really surprised me. I didn't have I had no idea Leo was going to give me that much and give me the most likes too out of that season, which was kind of crazy. So yeah, that was an interesting one. But yeah, I think you know, Aquarius is definitely up there. Aquarius, Libra, Gemini will give me a lot of information. Oh, I'm tripping. Virgo was another surprise. Gotcha. You know, you have Nas and Virgo. You know, Nas is a Virgo, and there's a bunch of people that were in Virgo. You know, Dougie Fresh and Ludacris, but a bunch of people and a bunch of samples. But where it got really eerie were is when the MCs or the producers sampled somebody who was the same sign for the song. You know, like there was one. Oh, Scorpio too was crazy. Mm-hmm. Scorpio actually was Scorpio. I would have to put at number one actually. Now that I'm thinking about it,
tell it.
Yeah, Scorpio was absolutely insanity because, their sign is all about like if they put their mind to something, they can do it, you know, effortlessly. And it just felt like that. Everything just felt effortless. Like I would put out a record, I'm like, oh, it goes with this perfectly. But there was one where it was Alchemist was a Scorpio. And I believe, if I'm getting this right, it's Prodigy from Mobb Deep. That's a Scorpio, and then they sampled someone who's a Scorpio on the same song. And I was like, yeah, three for yeah, you know. Like, the whole goal is just to wish as many happy birthdays as possible. Like, right. You know, sure. if I can, you know, say happy birthday to more artists, then I'm like, cool. The boxing in the mirror match is going the right way. So yeah.
So do you like have like mad bar trivia now? Like if you're just out with your friends or like a song comes on, you're like, oh, they're a Capricorn or whatever.
No, you know, I've forgot a lot of them, actually, believe it or not, because I was doing them like, you know, once a month actually goes by really fast. I don't know how people do nightly clubs or weekly clubs or even, you know, bi-weekly or whatever.
They play the same shit all the time.
Do it. Maybe they do. Yeah, that would drive me crazy. But those months went by so fast when it came to creating the mixes, recording them, and then I had a tour and I went through two surgeries and then creating content for new music and for posts, and it just those last 2 years went by like at a blink of an eye. It just really bugged me out. Yeah, to answer your question, no, I'm not very good at that kind of trivia. There's a few things like, you know, you guys resurrected a few little moments here, so maybe I'm just getting lucky with you guys. But yeah,
hey, man, those mixes, I mean, are intensely intricate. How long does it take you to conceptualize it and to like execute it as well?
Well, the funny thing is I got really thrown off. There's some real left turns on these mixes. But the biggest one was I had all the samples that the hip-hop artist used, but I didn't have a lot of the hip-hop artists on wax, right. And I couldn't believe it. And I was like, what is wrong with me? I was like about I was about like three or four episodes in, and I kind of got started late with this because I just did the first Gemini one in my birthday month as like a, hey, you know, shout out to all the Geminis. And then everyone was like, you got to do every sign now. And I was like, oh snap. Like I didn't even think of that. Like I wasn't really even thinking, you know, long-term. And so I got to the next sign really late. And so I was always playing catch up, but the curveball was I thought I had the hip hop records, but a lot of the records that I wanted to use were right when Serato came into play.
Right.
And so I thought I had the record, but in actuality, I had the digital file and not the vinyl. So I was playing catch up on a lot of holes in my collection, like Mos Def, Black on Both Sides. Like I loved the Madlib track on there, and I wanted to wish Madlib a happy birthday in Scorpio world. But I was like, damn, I don't have that record. Like, and so I was playing catch up and buying things as I was going too. So that also kind of helped make it fresh too, because those other things I was seeing. When I was digging, if I was in Russia or whatever, I'm like, oh, I need this, you know. So it was just craziness. Call me off guard.
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't really say this at the top, but we're just huge fans of them. They're so dope, dude. And I'm just seeing them come out.
Just glad you've seen them.
Yeah, dude, they're awesome. And can you talk a little bit about how you packaged them up and how they're available to folks now?
Yeah, so I did two seasons of Zodiac Tracks. And I ended the series with a track with Method Man, Wu-Tang Clan, with a song called Zodiac Killer. And we released it on 7-inch vinyl, that song on 7-inch vinyl. And then I packaged all the mixes, all 25 mixes, plus all the credits, and the videos and the audio on a USB stick that's in the shape of a turntable and a Crate of Records. Mm. And I put the Method Man song and all the credits, all the mixes on the USB stick. And I'm selling them through my DJ Newmark Bandcamp. Or if you just want to go to my website, it's djnewmark.com. It's N-U-M-A-R-K. Yeah. Nice. And so I'm selling it there, and they have had to repress those like 4 times now. Wow. They went really quick. I had no idea it was going to go like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's been great.
You and Method Man are work colleagues at your day job now, right?
Yeah. I get to spend some time with him and talk shit and see what records he, you know, it was interesting meeting him, you know, for the first time on set for Drop the Mic. It's a television show where like celebrities rap battle against each other. We just had the Muppets battle each other 2 days ago, which was hysterical. Yeah. Really, really hardcore hip hop. So it's a good, yeah.
Did they have Roosevelt Franklin? Both of us.
No, that's Sesame Street.
Oh, damn.
I should do a Sesame Street one though. That's I'm going to have to talk to the producers. Yeah. We got to talk to the producers and get that, you know, we got to do like Muppets versus Sesame Street or
Seriously?
Something like that. That'd be dope.
That's next level.
But it was just cool meeting Matt for the first time. I wasn't really sure what to expect. You know, like I only met him really, really briefly walking down the street in New York. And I think it was Keith Murray that was outside. And he said, "Hey, that's the dude from Jurassic." And I just shook their hands and kept going. Like, it was like, I didn't know much about it, even though they knew Jurassic. So I was just like, "Yo, what's up?" But I met him, you know, fresh on the set. I'll just say that because I know he remember me from the New York episode. But, and I didn't know what to expect, but I was really blown away at how professional he was. And it really kind of made me stand up straighter and just kind of rethink how I approach people. Not that I treated anybody any less, but just watching him walk on set and shake everybody's hands. It's like 150 people on these television sets. And he knows everybody's name, and he's talking to him before he gets on stage. I'm like, that's how you do it, man. You know, Meth doesn't need to do anything. Meth can retire and call it a day, you know, and he's over there like putting his best foot forward. And it really, really kind of just made me kind of nod my head and go, yeah, that's how you treat people, treat them with dignity, you know? So it was dope.
That's really cool to
and
hear.
And I was really nervous to play him the beat for the Zodiac Killer track because I was like, I was explaining the concept to him and I was like, yo, I actually honored you for it. I don't know if you saw it, but you know, I need an exclusive track to kind of put this whole thing to bed. And I just put some headphones on him, and like within 2 seconds, he was like, oh yeah, they want something with this. And I was like, oh, the next thing I know, he was at my studio. So, and he knocked it out in one take, which was like crazy.
That's awesome. Can you talk a little
bit
about
It's like seldom where you have like extra time in the studio. Well, for me it is like, but when you're working with like talent at that caliber, you're just like, oh, now what do we do? Let's listen to beat. Like, you know, it's just like, and I started thinking, I'm like, if I spent like at least 50% more of my time working with MCs this fast, I would have so much more extra time to spend with my family. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about like kind of what you do on the show and like what it's kind of like, how you've felt about it, and like do you enjoy being a part of it? Just kind of tell us about that experience you're having.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing a lot of programming and movie cue work, like little beats for different scenes on movies. Like I did like a good portion of beats for Ride Along 1 and 2 with Kevin Hart and Ice Cube. I just worked on the new Shaft movie. I did a remix of James Brown Get Up Off That Thing. I do little bits for movies, and so the producer, Jensen Karp, knew J5 and knew my work specifically, and he saw me do my toy set, which is an all children's toy set that I did live for a benefit for Alzheimer's. He saw me do it live, and Jensen and I forgot his name. The producer,
Meth would never do this.
I just drew a blank on the other producer's name, and it's going to kill me now. Oh, my God. Well, anyway, Jensen and another producer saw me at Charity for Hilarity, which is a benefit for Alzheimer's, and they saw me do the toy set, and they're like, yo, can this guy, you know, work on camera. No, the other show.
Ben Winston.
Gordon, sorry, guys.
Was it Ben Winston?
Oprah's helping me out. She's bounce passing information to me. So yeah, it was James Corden. You know, James Corden.
Yeah,
you know, James Corden Jensen saw me, and so I did the toy set, and so they called me in the office. It was like a cold call. We talked. And I loved doing it. I ended up doing the theme song for the show too, and that's really where I get excited, because I, you know, I've always wanted to do a theme song, and that was my first one. So. Yeah, and I enjoy playing with the band and interacting with the guests and as much as I can. They really only show me going to and from commercial break, but it's all good. It's a good break from touring, and it's a good break from being locked into a studio, and I laugh all day, so that's dope.
That's awesome.
And unlike in Living Color, you're actually doing things there. They used to have the DJ break on Living Color, and he wasn't doing anything.
It was Sean Wayans, SW1.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I know you guys are my age. Okay, so we're not talking to teeny boppers. So I can now act my age.
Not on Dad Bod. Not on Dad Bod Rap Pod.
Right.
Who's on the set of the show that actually came on and had bars? Like what star guest? Because some of these folks, I'm like, okay, I get that this is television, but who came on and like you were like, oh, you could actually rap a little bit.
Shaq.
Okay,
Shaquille O'Neal came in, and yeah, he was hysterical. He was really funny because he, well, first of all, he's super, super down to earth, and he like wants a DJ, and
I've seen this.
Just really cool guy. Like I could see like talking to him and like being friends with him. Like he was just really, really cool. He had bars. The Wayans. Damon Wayans battled homie from Saturday Night Live, Jay Farrow.
Oh.
And those two had like legitimate beef. and there was like a real battle. Like it turned into like a real thing. Yeah, there was like a whole thing about like I guess Jay bought some of Damon Wayans' lines for a special event. I think it might have been a charity of some sort. But then continued to use the material on his stand-up, and it created a little beef, I guess. And then they were like, you know, kind of going back and forth, you know, when the park stopped, and when they were supposed to stop, they were still talking shit to each other, and you know, Meth was like, oh, okay. Everybody was like, we got to break this up. We got to actually, you know, cut the commercial. We actually got other battles to get to. But they were both spitting. They were both, like, going for it. Like, and I think they both wrote their own lines, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but what's the dude that was on Chappelle's show? Oh, he was hysterical.
Donnell Rollins?
He was being typecast as like being soft, and then like there's a sketch with Chappelle taking him on the streets, and like
Wayne Brady
have bars, like like legitimate bars.
This is crazy.
And like you know, because there's a team of writers on Drop the Mic, they help write write the lyrics, Ricky Lake battling Jerry Springer, they're not going to write their own lyrics, right?
So Jerry used to though back in the
day. but Jerry was one of my favorite guests though, because Jerry was hysterical when they would cut to commercial. Like he was saying some of the funniest one-liners I had ever heard. We were dying. Wayne Brady was just said, no, I don't need any of the written material, and was like freestyling, writing his own stuff, and was actually really good and took it really serious. He was another one who was very serious.
Wow.
He wanted to make it crack. Yeah.
Wow.
That's dope, dude. So we saw on your social media you were recently in Taipei for the Red Bull freestyle. Can you tell us a little bit about how that went and kind of like it looked? Just crazy, man. Like DJ Royalty up on rooftops in Taipei. Like, what's that like?
I'm still buzzing off it. Like, it was like the closest thing to heaven. Jesus, it was like unreal. Like, I was just, I said yes to the first gig to judge it and like to DJ it just because I wanted to learn. I'm on like a really big, just trying to consume and learn from the young kids that are doing it, you know? And these kids actually helped me out a lot. When I judged the first one that they asked me to do in Chile, I was just asking the kids, I'm like, how are you guys doing this? And how are you guys doing that? You know, that one style, how you do, just asking a lot of questions, you know, about, you know, cut techniques or whatever, but they actually helped me a lot with Zodiac tracks because I was seeing them jump from tempos that were like 80 BPM, like all the way really fast to like 120 in a matter of like 2 minutes or something like that. It was crazy. And so that helped me with Zodiac because Zodiac is like a 5 to 10 minute mix thing tops. And I have to move through a lot of tempos and honor a lot of people. So yeah, that's like where I get really excited. But hanging out with Jeff and like, he like just gave me the best compliment on, DJ City and Red Bulls. Actually it's on Red Bull's site where, you know, he just said, you know, shout out to Newmark for an amazing set last night. And I was like, I'm having an outer body experience because Jeff was like, you know, Jeff was the guy that I would like pick up the needle and try to figure out what he was doing, you know, when I was still in my bedroom in my mom's house, like with posters on my wall, like trying to figure out DJing, you know? So it's just amazing that, yeah, he gave me props like that. And a lot of work went into my sets and, but most of all, we just laughed a lot. Like, Craze is a complete jokester. Like, we completely, you know, just wigged out and laughed a lot. And Scratch Bass is a really good friend of mine. And, yeah, we just had such a good time and learned a lot. Got a good tour of the city. The clubs were amazing. The contestants were great. And shout out Jay Espinoza for winning the whole thing for Bay Area.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah, man.
So in addition to being a star of television and a dope DJ, you also run a label, Hot Plate. Tell us how that journey's been, like going from being kind of an artist and then moving into the label impresario role.
Yeah, you know, Hot Plate right now, as it stands, is just a way for me to get my music into, you know, my people's hands so they can actually hear my music quicker, because waiting for labels or trying to get a deal that's structured the way, you know, I feel it should be structured, you know, you could be waiting for years or waiting forever. So for me, it's starting out as just a way for me to get my music to my people, in an efficient manner. So, I want to do more with the label. I'll be doing more in the future and definitely a lot more releases. I put the Method Man single out through there and the new Trademark single, a new Trademark EP will be coming out of there. That's myself and Slim Kid Trey from Farside, formerly of Farside. So it's just an avenue, really. That's the way I'm looking at Hot Plate at the moment until I get some employees underneath my belt, or more employees, I should say. And it's cool to have a medium.
And is that kind of borrowing from, because you guys were on a major label at a point, right? Like, are you kind of taking those experiences and kind of like every kind of wrong door that there was there? Are you taking that into your own endeavor?
Man, I wish I could say yes. But the game has changed so drastically since, you know, when I was on Interscope with J5, we were there with Dre, Eminem, and 50 Cent were at the height of their game, you know, and like, they were like, you know, what do we do with J5? Who are these guys? You know, we didn't sign with Jimmy Iovine. We signed with Tom Wally, who left almost like, I think, a month or so after he signed us. So it never really bothered me that much, because we had a real cult following, but it was interesting to see how people who don't know anything about the group would handle us, you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, I wish I could answer your question and say, yeah, I totally learned this and that from there, but I learned more from my experience in 1996 working for a label called Correct Records, where I brought Kanye West in for the first time. I learned more from that, just like getting college lists and, like, you know, rolling your sleeves and doing pretty much everything yourself if you have to, and just using common sense. But the Interscope days were kind of different, and the game has changed so much. You can't like put out a record and disappear for 3 years or 4 years. Now you have to stay in people's faces, like hence Zodiac tracks and that kind of thing. So you just, you know, yeah, it's just a lot of weight on an artist's shoulders now. If they do an album and then disappear for 10 years or something like that, it's just like, it's too much weight. Mm-hmm. And people forget about them, you know?
For sure.
You know, you just touched a little bit on the Kanye, you bringing in and Kanye. Can you tell people about that story? I don't think a lot of people know about that.
Yeah, well, in 96, about the time where I was getting really serious with J5 and we were kind of getting plans together, I was working at a small label here on the West Coast called Correct Records. And we had a group called Manish. We had a guy named Grav who I signed. Grav was out of Chicago, or is out of Chicago, a reggae group, and I'm forgetting somebody. There was a few. Oh, Al Tariq from Beat Nuts, who was formerly called Fash. I found Grav, and he played me a demo of I think 4 to 5 songs, and there were some dope joints on there, but there was a joint or two by a producer I've never heard of named Kanye West, and I was like. I talked to my label manager and the guy who owned the label, and I was like, hey, you know, this is an interesting project. You know, I think this guy has some staying power. We listened to it together and we decided, you know, hey, if he does the rest of the record with this Kanye kid, you know, we'll pay for it. So I told that to Grav, and he's like, cool. So if you listen to, it's a very, very unknown record, Down to Earth by Grav, G-R-A-V, like Gravity. Mm-hmm. Half of that album is produced by Kanye West, and that's Kanye West's debut and very first record ever put out on wax, you know. So, and like I have like credits on there of like DJing, and I got A&R credit or whatever, but I was also doing like college promotion for that label. I was just trying to learn the business while I was with J5. I was just kind of immersing myself in the whole thing and just trying to learn both sides of the music industry.
Right on. Well, Newmark, we really appreciate you coming on. In closing, is there anything that you wanna plug for the listeners that you got coming up? I know you're on tour.
Yeah, please check out the new Trademark record. It's on YouTube. The song's called Hands Up. Trademark is T-R-D-M-R-K, no vowels. That's with myself and Slim Kid Trey, formerly of Farside, that'd be the latest greatest.
There it is, man. Well, we thank you for coming on, man. Best of luck in the future.
Right on. You guys have a good night.
You too. Thanks, man.
All right. Peace.
Once again, we want to thank DJ Newmark for coming on. Super cool cat.
I'm a super huge DJ Newmark fan. Amazing beard line that he has maintained at the same like height and like razor sharpness. He's got cuts, dude. I love like when he does his things with the toys. Like the Jurassic 5 2 DJ setup was just like blew my mind when I was younger. Right. I will never forget seeing them for I assume is the first time, and he did the little Kalimba tried by 12 moment.
I've seen everything he's
done. It's so cool. He's so talented at what he does.
And to say that he's like thoughtful is like an understatement. You know, everything is like precision, you know?
Yeah. Totally. Dope to talk to him and kind of like get the perspective on that TV show, which, you know, I had a feeling about.
You might. Yeah. Kind of not be loving that show where, you know, like Rebel Wilson rap battles Susan Sarandon or something.
Don't fuck with Sarandon's bars. No, but, you know, it's like one of those things where I'm like, okay, I'm glad that Method Man derives a steady income. It's like Snoop Dogg's programs. Like, I'm never going to sit down and watch any of that.
I have to say, the Martha Stewart one's pretty entertaining.
Is it?
He long ago transcended rap to be like a cultural figure, though. Like, I would say, I guess, around the time of like the How High kind of. No, what's their one? The Wash?
The Wash. Oh my God. Didn't see that reference coming.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. The whole everyone who works on that seems cool. Like that guy Jensen Karp, who was Hot Carl, has like a cool podcast and a cool art gallery, and he wrote a cool book about how Kanye West owes him $300 and his like adventures in underground hip hop. Like he seems cool. Newmark's obviously great. Meth is great. Blimes and Gab wrote on that and like in rap coaching on there.
No, I
like Chrissy Teigen. Like I like everybody on there, so I can't get mad about it. But I would normally be so mad about it. You know what I mean?
Some of it's kind of gross and contrived, but otherwise, I totally hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, I'm just I'm happy that rappers are having these lanes to kind of like mature and age in the game, right? Like,
well, as hip hop becomes more accepted and sort of mainstream, it's like, oh, well, then you have Snoop Dogg with on a show with Martha Stewart.
Or his new game show.
The game show. I've heard it's like psychedelically weird. Someone told me like that's the weirdest shit I've ever seen, and I'm like, well, it makes sense. Like, who's sober in the production of this?
Absolutely, you know, absolutely no one.
Producers, PAs, Snoop himself.
Yeah,
these are like, I have a Snoop Dogg has a TV. Game show on TBS. Jeez. Let's be sober. Like, I don't think anyone's ever said that sentence.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Me watching it, you know, it's like just, it's not really a thing. But
they couldn't call it the $20,000 sack pyramid. Oh. Like, we couldn't. Was that taken?
I think Suge probably owns that, right?
Yeah, come on. Oh, man.
I love how we have had nothing to do with Suge Knight on any of our guests or anything, and we've managed to mention him twice already today.
That's true, huh? Yeah, man.
He looms large.
In cell block 17. Yeah, that's messed up. It's been a weird week for just rappers in the criminal justice system.
I know.
We have Tekashi
Snitch 9. I think, and I don't think we'll ever get the proper credit, we were among the first to make that joke on Twitter.
Absolutely.
I saw a lot of people make it, but we were early to it.
Absolutely. We're here to denigrate Tekashi.
Friend of the program, Sean Sotero, has been doing excellent reporting on that for Complex. He's just like, I don't know if he's literally in the courtroom, but he's like
doing like courtroom sketches.
He's doing like really like hard news reporting on everything that happens so and the ramifications of it. And I've told Dave this many times, I hated his music. I'm obsessed with his case. Like, I'm following this like the Menendez brothers or something. Like, I want to know like who's turning on Shoddy and like what, like which crimes exactly they're getting sentenced for.
Wait for the Netflix documentary.
I know. Oh, totally. Dude,
that's going to be a podcast in and of itself. But I love it because it's kind of like rappers do this whole facade about they will never snitch. Like it's such a prominent, you know, meme that happens in rap. And then the moment a motherfucker gets caught, it's like it was him and him and him and him. Totally. Yeah. So that's been kind of interesting.
The thing that's really weird about that, and we could do a whole thing on this and I won't go that far, is he was never a gangster. And he wasn't even really a rapper. He was an Instagram star. Mm-hmm. And so this is, I don't think it should necessarily, and I completely agree with your saying, and there's a lot of other instances of that, but it's not like about rap per se. It's about clout. Mm-hmm. It's about him joining up with 9 Trey to give street cred to his career and like protection. But he's like a cartoon character.
But
bizarre.
To the point where you're getting charged with hit with 47 years, like you kind of did it. He did it. Like he made it. Like you are really one of those guys.
You're
now
a gangster now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congrats, bro. Yeah. In other courtroom news, Sir 21 Savage is apparently a British national and was swooped up by ICE.
That was insane, dude.
Just such a random.
Atlanta had a weekend.
Yeah.
It's
like
the Super Bowl and like the 21 Savage thing. I do think what happened was awful. I will admit to laughing at some of the memes. Like
when they
said he's got shooters in red and they showed like the Revolutionary War guys. Like when I first saw that, I'm like, that's a funny joke. Oh, it doesn't make what happened right. And I think he's rich, so he'll get out of it. But
I did think it was a little bit precious though. As someone who works in East San Jose where ICE is actually a thing, people are kind of they'll give parental custody to people who are citizens for their kids. They're like, if I get snatched by ICE, you know, I want my kids to have a parent. So it's an ever present thing.
Right. And it's real.
And it's real. But if your first commentary on fucking ICE is because they snatched 21, that's a little cheesy to me. And yes, we can laugh at him. I mean, he has Jay-Z. There's so many people who make so much money from what he does. he will be back in America
soon. Yeah, his life is not ruined. His family's not being torn apart.
And so that was the part where it's like, oh, you shouldn't laugh about this. I'm like, of all the things that we shouldn't laugh about in the Twitter sphere.
Right.
So, you know, Free 21, I'm here for it. It actually made me go back and like listen to the record again. Joints in there.
I didn't think it was terrible. I poo-pooed it originally,
yeah. but his
like talky style just doesn't really resonate with me. But if you listen to his word placement, he's quite talented.
Yeah, and now I'm listening for just a slight British accent.
Right.
Like, well, where is it? It's got to be in there. It's
I've seen
in there.
All this stuff though, and like the weird thing about that in particular is that not only did they arrest him and detain him, they tried to discredit him. ICE agents and spokespeople came out and said that his
Atlanta.
Persona is a sham.
Right.
Why are they going that far?
Right. That has nothing to do with it.
It really don't, because by law, if you hit a hood at 12, you're official then.
Right.
It's okay. If at 13, no good.
I just saw some guy on Twitter that was getting retweeted a lot. He's like, I was in a third grade class with him. This was my teacher. This is the part of Atlanta. Like, he's from Atlanta. Like, he's from Atlanta.
Yeah.
To be born in the UK. But
Ted
Cruz was born in Canada.
Can they take him back? Will they?
I wish.
Can we deport him?
Bizarrely, that was not really that much of an issue in the 2016 election. Like that should have been it. Grand opening, grand closing.
Right.
From the party he wants Barack's birth certificate.
Exactly. Which, the leftist, political pundits were trying to hammer that in, and the news just didn't care. Fuck, man.
Yeah.
They're so much better at news than us.
Totally. And then news is now outrage cycle, so it's like, oh, well, 2 days.
Totally.
And now it's kind of over.
Right.
Did you guys see all the jokes where it was like the Rams were trying to make it so they didn't have to eat cold McNuggets?
Oh.
That's why the Super Bowl mission, was so shitty.
Mission accomplished.
Nice.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit before we started the show, and it's just kind of like, I don't know. I just, this weekend, I was like, I think football jumped the shark, like, all the way. Like,
apparently, the ratings in the regular season were much better than the last couple of years, but they're like, it's like the Mahomes effect. Patrick Mahomes is an epical talent who's doing things people have never seen before.
Right.
So, like, people are tuning in just to watch him, which I'll admit to watching some YouTube things, it's insane what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, the physics of throwing a football are changing. He's kind of like Steph Currying it.
Right, right. But I'll take NBA offseason trade rumors over football game.
That's the best totally. As you guys are going to hear in our next segment, it's the night before the NBA trade deadline. And by the time you're hearing this, the trade deadline will likely be approaching or passing, depending on how quick you smash that play button, as YouTube jerks say. As soon as we hit the space bar, I'm going to go check my basketball list on Twitter again. I need to know what's
to
happening.
To see if 72 Lakers have been traded for Anthony Davis.
That's not going to happen. Did you see the thing Del Demp said? He's like they tampered and they like wanted to negotiate in the media, so I just let them make their huge offer and leaked it to the media just to fuck with
them.
Wow. Yeah, he said that
high-level,
in public.
High-level trolling.
That was amazing.
That's dope.
That's high.
That's what I thought.
I think so.
So Anthony Davis is going to be on LeBron's show, the next episode of The Shop, kind of complaining about it.
That might be the only time they play together. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's fascinating, though.
It is super fascinating. We love the NBA, and there is definitely concentric circles between hip-hop and the NBA. So our next guest, super talented producer from Philadelphia, home of the Philadelphia 76ers, small pro, came on the program to talk to us about an upcoming release he has with the late, great Sean Price. So we have an interview with him that we kind of round, in the end, got to talking a little bit about basketball, but it's definitely mostly about his upcoming project and, like, all of the dope stuff he has on Bandcamp. So we hope you guys dig this interview with Small Pro. Dad Bod, Rap Pod, back once again. We have another dope guest on the line. Straight out of the city of brotherly love, we have producer extraordinaire Small Pro on the program. How's it going?
Going well, going well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, how cold is it there?
Oh, it's getting cold again, and I'm getting over a cold, so I wish it would stop going up and down.
Yeah, polar vortex all up in it. Yeah, thanks for coming on the program. We want to start off by talking about this amazing project that you have coming out on February 8th, correct? Is this the 86 Witness record?
Yes, sir. Friday.
Okay. And it's been getting a lot of press. Obviously, this is your collaboration with the late, great Sean Price. Can you tell us a little bit about just how that record came into being?
Sure. Well, the record came to be as a follow-up of sorts for Sean P. I had a record on Coal Mine previously called Land of the Crooks. He did with M. Phases. Mm-hmm. And I also did a record on Coal Mine Records called Highway Robbery with Guilty Simpson. Mm. So I was kind of taking those two vibes and putting them together in a way. But we started in 2014 on our collaborative project, and we went up until late 2015, sending beats back and forth and getting guests together. And, you know, we pretty much finished the entire thing while he was with us. Mm. And, you know, we had a few things to tie up after he passed, but for the most part, he heard most of what people will hear on Friday.
Oh, wow. That's dope. Because we know definitely in hip-hop there's been kind of a lot of these mashups after people pass away where they're just taking vocals and stuff. But you guys are actually, like, working on this project.
Yes. We both had our own, you know, spaces, to work. I was sending beats, and you know, I make beats by myself in my apartment on my computer, and you know, however he did his thing, it was away from me. But when we brought it together, it was it sounded like we were, you know, together working on it. So that made me feel good too.
Yeah, for sure, man. We've had a chance to listen to the press link, and it's a really cohesive project. I think it sounds dope, and it already looks like people are excited for it. And this is, I feel, just as an outside observer, that it's kind of bringing you to a new level of notoriety. I don't know if that's hitting for you yet, or if you feel that way too.
Sure. Well, for me, it's just good to, for new fans to, you know, see what I've been up to, because I've been putting out music for more than 10 years. And mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, I make a lot of music, but I don't really promote any of it. So I've just got like 10 plus albums just sitting on Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. You know, but I have, like I said, I do have, you know, the projects like Highway Robbery with Guilty, and then the Career Crooks project with my man Zilla Rocka. Yep. That was Bandcamp's album of the year last year.
Nice. So Zilla Rocka's our only two-time guest so far on the podcast. We're big fans.
And oh,
so
yeah,
we've
yeah.
definitely been listening.
He's a podcast ho.
Sorry, Dave. Just real quick to finish up on that thought. Can you tell the listeners about your John's series on Bandcamp? And like, it's just a tremendous amount of work, and I like to dive around in there and just kind of like root. You can just spend hours like kind of listening to the beats, and like, can you talk about why you put them that way and like where all that comes from?
For the most part, I consider those Bandcamp projects my version of a mixtape. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of me playing around with different sounds, trying out new styles, trying out things that I've done already, but, you know, doing them from a different perspective. Just any, you know, anything that I didn't necessarily feel was a proper solo outing, but I still needed to, you know, express it artistically. So that's pretty much what my Bandcamp is to me. For the most part, from 2011 to I want to say 2014. The beats on the projects were from like just anywhere, just random stuff, just collected into different volumes. And then I started doing kind of the one sample source kind of projects more recently, which is its own challenge. You know, as Madlib and, you know, Oh No have, you know, done projects with music from one, you know, particular region. I focused on, you know, one band at a time. Or
do you
one
try to do like
time.
A mental challenge for yourself of like using every kick, every snare, or is it just like main riffs, or like do you like create a series of rules to keep it interesting for yourself?
When it comes to those projects, I just try to do beats the way I always do beats, which is finding, you know, melodies from one place, a bass line from this other song, drums from this song. So it's pretty much, you know, collage-esque, just like everything else I do for the most part.
Okay.
I would also say I consider myself a collage artist in general. Mm-hmm. I just, music is just my main medium. I do dabble in actual like paper collage too. I just never do it because I love doing music so much. But I've done a couple album covers, like my 2008 Slow Bus cover. I did that myself. If you've ever seen that cover, and I've done other stuff that, you know, just hasn't come out yet, but. I just love putting, you know, different sounds together and different things together that weren't necessarily, you know, meant to fit together. And sometimes you can see the lines where things were stitched together, and then sometimes you can't tell where one piece ends and one piece begins. So it's all just art to me.
Okay. Hey, man, we've had a lot of guests on the show, but I don't think we've ever had anybody from South Philly. Can you talk a little bit about the rap scene out there and just how your music is taken in over there?
Well, first of all, I'm not from South Philly. Zilla's from South Philly. I'm actually from the opposite part of Philadelphia. I'm from Germantown or Mount Airy part of Philly. I've lived in South Philly for... I want to say the last 5 years.
Okay.
But Philly rap is very diverse. But I guess each region, each part of the city kind of has its own artists, that do their own thing. So that's always cool. I know people from just about every scene. I'm terrible with names, so please don't ask. But you know, there's definitely quite a few artists in Philly that I work with often and look up to and respect.
Okay. I also want to jump forward a little bit. You've mentioned in previous conversations that Ninth Wonder was a big inspiration. Can you talk a little bit about when you first heard his music and sort of, you know, how it struck you?
Well, Ninth Wonder, for me was the reason I got started on, using the programs that I use, FL Studio and Adobe Audition. But, when I first heard his music, I have to admit, I wasn't impressed. I didn't appreciate what he was doing until years later. But, you know, at the time I was like, you know, just trying to compete really with somebody that was given getting a lot of accolades and props at the time, deservedly so too. The first thing I heard from him was The Listening, if I recall. That was 2003. And then, you know, the next year I think people really went crazy when he put out God's Stepson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at that time, you know, he was like all the rage, you know what I mean? So it was just like the competitor in me, which is something I inherited from my basketball playing days. I'm a very competitive individual. So I kind of take that and I kind of channel that in my music as well. So, but again, I always want to give respect to Ninth Wonder. His chop game is one of the more more great, one of the greater choppers we have, and just everything that he does in his own way, and he's always done it unapologetically, whether it's using, you know, the computer programs that he used, or, you know, people complaining about his drums and him, you know, just remaining steadfast in his style. So, but,
cool.
But that's definitely who I credit with getting me into production in my era.
Nice. Just to bring it back to the new project, can you talk a little bit about Sean P and like what you think makes him unique or special as an MC?
Oh, well, Sean Price definitely, he was always a master of multi-syllable rhymes. And he was always a master of comedic timing, which is something that isn't really what they teach you at rap school. It's something you get, you just, you either have it or you don't, you know what I mean? And it's not even comedic timing all the time. It's just, you know, timing, you know, knowing when to drop a line, or, you know, when to pause. That's something that he was notable for, in my opinion. He was a master of space. So he had a couple different really great things, I think, going for his abilities.
Dope. So you mentioned a little bit about playing ball. Do you follow basketball at all?
I'm a big Sixers fan.
Okay. This is what we
I'm
figured.
I'm very happy at the moment.
Yeah. So you're feeling that the what is it called, the Toby and Bobby trade? Is this what I was told it was called?
Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic. Yeah.
Yeah. Before I answer any more questions, what teams are you two representing?
We're Warriors fans.
No, we're Warriors fans.
We're from the Bay Area.
We're from the Bay Area. Yeah.
But we were Warriors fans before it was cool.
All right. That's respectable. I respect that.
Yeah. I'm a Tim Hardaway fan.
All right. Now we're talking. If you were a new Warriors fan, then we might
We totally get it. We actually try not to talk about it that much so we don't seem insufferable, but we are really enjoying the current dynasty.
Of course.
And you guys are on the doorstep.
I respect pre-Curry Warriors fans. Oh, and even I'm not even going to go that far. You know, the Curry era has been great for basketball. So
And early Curry. Now it wasn't always destined.
Glass ankle Curry was kind of a tough time for us too.
Yeah, shout out to Curry's ankles, because without that, I don't think you guys would be where you are currently.
Absolutely not. But so you're feeling the trade, you guys. You know, call it right here. Zilla was kind of ambivalent about the Sixers' chances to take the East. Are you guys taking the East now?
I won't say they're taking the East, because I always think teams need a time to get to know each other.
Sure.
Chemistry. You know, this is a very, very, very sudden change. And Zilla actually said the other day that this is the third Sixers team this season.
right.
So, you know, I think it would be a little bit much to expect, you know, them coming out of the East or competing with Milwaukee or Boston or Toronto right now. But I think the move does set them up in the future, providing everybody stays put. And, you know, we still have to see Tobias and how he fits in with, you know, everybody that's there already. But I'm excited for what's next to come for the team, for sure.
Do you think, is the city embracing Jimmy Butler? It's really hard to tell from here.
The city right now is probably I want to say lukewarm about Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Because he just seems like an asshole. So it's like kind of hard to root for this dude.
It's just like, you know, he's on our team.
Right.
And we like him.
He's our asshole.
We like him.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he left, I think, I don't know that people would be heartbroken.
Okay.
Just because he hasn't necessarily made things easy for the team so far.
For sure.
And, you know, honestly, his performance has been a little up and down. But at the end of the day, like, you know, he's a top, you know, 25 guy. So
sure.
You kind of got to, you know, respect him, especially when playoff time comes and, you know, the rotation's shortened.
Right.
So, you know, it's good to have a guy like that on your team. Yeah, the bench situation right now is a little questionable, but I'm not too concerned about that. I'm happy about it. The team being so top heavy. I've never rooted for a Sixers team with that much talent.
Sure. It's a good problem to
in
have.
In the starting five, like ever. And I've been a Sixers fan since, I want to say, like 99 or 2000.
Okay.
Officially. So that was, you know, AI and,
right.
you know, all the talent that they gave him. Oh, yeah. He had just all stars, you know, that would make the Warriors of now, you know, blush.
Dope. Well, we appreciate you coming on and talking about hoops, but definitely everybody needs to go check out the new record coming out, 86 Witness, Small Pro, Sean Price coming out. We just thank you for coming on the program, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Peace. Dad Bod Rap Pod, that was our interview with Philly's own Small Pro, North Philly's own Small Pro.
Germantown. We do not know about Philly neighborhoods.
No,
at
totally,
all.
Totally.
It's
totally.
Like someone being like, you're from Evergreen, not the East Side. that won't mean much to most of you.
You're East Side adjacent. That's exactly. We respect it. So yeah, Small Pro was kind enough to come on the program. We appreciate that. A little basketball banter. I always feel like our UK people and shit are just like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they fuck with basketball in the UK. So
record's dope, though. I like the record a lot. So
totally.
I'm really 100%. Glad to have him on. And like, I think he's really talented. Go wade through the Bandcamp waters.
Yeah, and this is sort of his moment. This is sort of his rise. So it's really good to see him and talk to him while he's on the ascendant. You know?
For sure.
Yeah, we won't be able to get him next year. But
medium professor.
Yeah, so... So, Dad Bod Rap Pod, we exist on several planes and platforms. We just got on Spotify. We're like the last people to get our podcast on Spotify. So, definitely Dad Bod Rap Pod on Spotify. We have a YouTube channel that's in development right now, but we've got some of the older interviews are up on YouTube, and we'll be competing with Joe Rogan in no time in that space. So check us out, Dad Bod Rap Pod on YouTube. We also just figured out how to do IG.
It's really interesting following rappers and like what they show their fans is so fascinating. I feel like I'm like gathering like information for a PhD thesis on like how people present themselves. It's fascinating.
You have to follow us because Nate takes copies of the New Yorker and puts them to his ear. That's how he flosses on Instagram.
I have a stack of unread ones that would look like $10,000 right now.
Yeah. So if you wanna get with us, please check us out on all the above platforms. Download the show. Tell your friends about the show. Like, fuck with us for real. It's the Dad Bod Rap Pod.